for I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin, on my way to that fair city. Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, I know I'll see my Savior if my life is free from sin. Oh, heaven's door will open for me. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. And when we gather round the throne and the gates are closed within, oh, I'll be shouting glory, glory. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, I am waiting for the chariot to swing low and I'll step in. On the clouds I'll ride to heaven. What a time when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching. Let's all stand as Brother Terrence comes. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Saints go marching in.
Amen. Good morning. Glad to see everyone with us this morning. Remember the ones maybe traveling. Bless them and be with them. A few requests here I have. Sister Rebecca Atkins is sick at home with bronchitis, ear infection. Also, Sister Esther Smallwood has an unspoken request. And Sister Julie's got poison ivy. So stay away from Sister Julie. Don't even shake her hand. Don't even get close to her. Just make sure that's the way it is. Act like she got the plague or something. Stay away from her. No, I'm just kidding. But she's got poison ivy, so don't. If you get it, don't get close to her. Don't shake her hand. Brother Mark. Okay, remember that also, Brother Mark's request. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning. Lord, be with the ones that are maybe traveling on the highways. Bless them, be with them, and guide them. Be with the request that was mentioned here, Lord. We have many people, Lord, that need a touch from you. Sister Rebecca and, Lord, Sister Julie and Sister Esther's unspoken request, Lord, and all of our unspoken requests. Be with them and guide them. Be with the services. Bless our Sunday school classes. Be with them also. Be with Dad. Give him strength, Lord, and also give us strength to listen to what's being said. Forgive us for all of our sins. We love you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated.
Are possible, only believe. and Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe, for all things are possible.
Happy this morning. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? For I've accepted the word of the Lord. Oh, it's the revealed word that was spoken of Malachi 4. Amen. Brother Mark, would you come this morning and take up the morning tithes and offering? Holly, do you have a scripture for this morning to read? Okay. Let's sing that chorus, Because He Lives, as we ask Brother Colley to go ahead and come up for our Bible reading, if we all stand.
Because He lives, oh, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives.
Bless all of us together. Well, we are here because we need more than we can provide.
Yes.
Jesus Christ will give it to us if we can accept it. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, we are grateful and ever thankful for all that you have provided for us, Lord, and all that you are providing. Lord, knowing that within your heart, Father, you desire that each and every one upon this earth would be saved. Lord, let us accept that which you died for at Calvary. And here we stand this morning, Lord, still in need. So we pray and we ask you for your thanksgiving and your blessing unto us. Lord, remember those in Sunday school. Lord, bless them. Lord, us here together in the sanctuary. Lord, wherever we have need of, God, we pray that we will accept it from you. Remember Brother Dale and touch him in a special way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are going to read from Psalm 97. Psalm 97, beginning verse 1 through 12. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad thereof.
Clouds and darkness are round about him, righteousness and judgment for the habitation of his throne.
A fire goeth forth before him and burneth up his enemies round about.
His lightnings and the
hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, and in his presence of the Lord the whole earth.
The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory.
Be confounded, all they that serve graven images and boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods.
Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord.
For the Lord are high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all the gods.
He that loved the Lord hated evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivered them out of the hand of the wicked.
Light is sown of for righteousness and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, righteous, and give thanks to the remembrance of his holiness. Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
His word this morning.
Amen.
Let's turn to page 612, the Spiral Songbook, and let's sing that song, As a Deer Panteth for the Water Brook. So my soul longeth after thee. There's always a deep that calleth to the deep, amen, and he's there to answer.
As a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. And you are my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are my king. Desire this morning. Oh, you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You more than or silver, only you can satisfy. Sing that song once more, it's so beautiful. Oh, as a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. And you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. My shield, you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Let's sing the last verse. And I want you more than gold and silver, only you can satisfy. And you alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit. Desire, and I long to worship thee. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
None go with me, still I will.
there's no turning back once we're on this journey. Amen. You wouldn't want to turn back. You got the Savior walking with you. You know that master of the wind. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. To know who we serve is a living God. Amen. He's the master of every circumstance. Let's sing this song, The Master of the Wind. I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know the maker of the rain. And he can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a father, he watches over me. When the breeze turns into the gale, and I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know the maker of the rain. And he can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. Sometime I soar like an eagle through the sky. Above the peaks my soul can be found. But an unexpected storm may drive me to the ground. Bring me low, but never bring me down. Sing that first verse again. My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a father and he watches over me. When the breeze turns into the gale, and I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know the maker of the rain. And he can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. And I know the master of the wind. Do you know him this morning? Oh, I know. Master of the wind, and I know the maker of the rain, and he can calm the storm, make the sun shine again, and I know the master of the wind. Amen. It's so good to know him. That he knows us, amen, through that relationship through the word, amen. Let's sing that chorus in the presence of Jehovah, Kiasi. In the presence, let's just worship him. God Almighty.
just lift our hands and invite him in this morning? Oh, in the presence. Him bride of Christ. Oh, it's in the presence of Jehovah. Oh God Almighty, He's the Prince.
Change the order of the service. It's only in His presence that we can come before Him, and His word is revealed to our hearts. We're so thankful that we're a part of the message of this day that He's calling out. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
See Him in everything. See Him in everybody. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We're glad to have Brother Russ with us. He's not a visitor. He's a part of us. He's just kind of a little off up north, you know, and all. And so if I was him, I'd be leaving up there and come down here all winter. And, you know, because them 40 and 50 below, that's no way, no way. Lord, don't send me that away. It won't work. Amen. But glad to have him with us. We had a real good time yesterday in the kids and the Bible study and the things and all the fellowship and all. It worked out real good. And I thought, you know, we had a good time in it. And I hope you enjoyed all of the things that went on. So let's give the hand to the ones that, you know, took it and done it and done their part to make it to where that it would work, and it did work out real good. So we appreciate that. Remember now, the Bible study will be at Brother Tony's on the third Saturday.
Fellowship meeting.
Okay. Be it at Brother Tony's on the third Saturday of December. So keep in.
November.
Is it November?
November.
I know it's November, but I'm trying to think. I thought we had one in December.
No.
I guess it is November. Okay, November. The third Saturday in November, Brother Tony's. Okay, remember that. And everything. 3:30 in the afternoon. So just to be in that. Amen. And any other?
On Sunday, the 17th, we're having our Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
Here at the church.
On the 7th, is it? 17th
of November.
We're having our time together. Brother Altig will be here, the Lord willing, with us in December. Yeah, and preaching for us there the weekend of the church gathering, you know, that we have times together.
Amen.
All right, on that one. So remember that one. We'll announce that. Any others? Father, we thank you for your grace and your love unto us. Thank you for everything, Lord. And we just praise your great name and we honor you. And we ask you now to just be with us and come and just, Lord, you take over the service and just have your way and let your heart and your love dwell among your people. Because that's our desire more than anything, to see where we're at right now. Where we've been, where we're going is wonderful, but where we are now is very, very important. And guide us, Lord, and keep us. Forgive our sins. You said you sent your word and healed us, so remember all the sick ones among us and things, and just touch each one. Remember Sister Rebecca there, Lord, having a lot of problems. Touch her and all of the others that are sick, Lord. Have your way. Our hearts and desires is one thing, that we could, Lord, live before you as you desire for us to be. Guide us now as we read your word. You come and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Hebrews 11, and then we'll go to Romans 8. Hebrews 11 and Romans 8. Okay, try to continue our thought on the adoption, and also remember those things. Okay, Hebrews 11. Now, I want you to think, all of these in Hebrews 11, they're basically, now, you can interrelate the last two or three verses of Hebrews 11 to come down to be talking about us. But the basics of Hebrews 11 up until you get to the last two or three verses is actually to Israel. All right? Now, I want that in your mind, because when we say it later on, I don't want you to flinch or say, wait a minute. You see? It ends up by saying they without us cannot be made perfect. Well, now, even if you had Jacob, even if you had, Israel, even if you had just Joseph, or even if you had one or two, it would still have the same meaning, right? That they're waiting on us. Okay. Now, what is our thought that we've having? We're talking about adoption, but what? Not looking back. Not looking forward. But looking where we're at right now. Because to me, that's the only thing important, is what's happening now. I was listening to reading yesterday or the day before one there, and Brother Branham, it shocked me what he said. He said, the sign of the end was the material building. The building. Have you ever seen a time when they're building like they are now?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's homes coming up. There's just condominiums. There's everything coming, building is running just right down the road. He said that would be one of the signs, would be building going on. Because, you know, it says crafts shall prosper and things like that, you know. We'll be in this day, you know, and all of those things. But just remember that, okay? So think about it now. Don't get lost in, well, now that's the bride. No, that's not the bride totally here. So let's pick up what we're talking about on verse 33 and read down through this to pick up 11 to 40, okay? Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, cut the sword out of weakness, were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured and accepted. Not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins. See, that can come right down to where we're living, all right? About in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and the mountains and the dens and the caves of the earth. These all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. All right, now they didn't get the promise. What? God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. All right, that means complete. It doesn't mean you're going to raise them up and preach to them and things. It means to come to full points of what you're aiming at. All right, now let's go to Romans 8, 22 and 23. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and prevaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, as I said, what's been our point? Not to look back. That's great. That's faith builder, right? Because you can see this did happen. It took place. But not to look back to that. Because that will not change you. That is already past. It's done. It won't change you. All right? Now, the future is out beyond. So if you're thinking of the future being beyond, how can anything beyond where we are now change us where we're at? So let's get to right here. Let's get right where we're living and just think about it. As I was saying about listening and thinking of, or reading there, and the prophet said, you know, all of this building that was going on is a sign of the end. Well, all right. All this building going on is a sign of the end. Amen. That was his point that he was making and showing what we could look at. Right. We can look around us and see the things happening in the world today and realize the end of all things has come upon man. Amen. All right? And in doing that, then we can say our time is at hand. When you see Jerusalem compassed about, all right, like I was saying the other day, you know, there for a little while they kind of pull back away from them. Not all the countries and things. But they pulled back away just a little bit back there a few years ago. But what are they doing now? Slowly, gradually putting our troops right back into harm's way, you know. And see, it's compassed about on all sides. All right. Now, see, then that means this is the day. Because that's our thought. That's what we're talking about. Now, the prophet said, and we'll read it in a minute, when is the time or a day that was to be like it is today, of the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Amen. All right, what is manifestation? Well, we think it as being great signs and wonders. Okay, that's part of it. Right. We think it's the dead raised, the sick healed, and the thing, and that's part of it. But our problem there is we say, I don't see that going on no more. Oh, we saw it in the prophet, but we don't see it now. Well, wake up. Look around the world. Amen. I can stand here and preach about the denominations and show you they're having a great revival in a lot of respects. Right? look like more than us. But that's not what it is. What is manifestation? It's to make known. Right? See, that's to me is the all that I've ever thought about on making known is one thing. If you make God known, He'll make you known. If you just make Him known, if you go out, talk about Him, and testify, and do the different things like that, and all, He'll come behind that and heal the sick, and cast out devils, do all kind of work. Why? Because you've brought Him on the scene by your testimony about Him, or your making known of Him. All right? Now, see, then we firmly believe that God sent us a prophet, and He brought us the Word. We're not looking for another one to come. We believe the Word that we have and all, but we believe that it has to be made known. That's all that I'm trying my best to do, is to speak to you about what the prophet brought to us and having to make, you know, doing with that and being something that is being made known. Not future and not past. I keep saying that over and over because that's where I want your mind thinking. I want your mind thinking of what's happening this day. Because it was a time came there that Jesus, when He stepped over, He said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. No? All right, out of 6,000 years, or say 4,000 or something, 5,000 years up to there, He was making something personal that day. This day. Can we make it personal? See, if we don't see it as to where God is personal to each one of us, then what kind of a God do we have? What are we doing? What's the point? See? And like I've said, now you remember this point. You make Him known. Brother Branham made God known. And then what did He say? He said, now if I've preached the Word, let Him come. Well, you know, He never failed to come.
That's right. Amen.
Why? Because He made Him known.
That's right. Amen.
Even though the prophet would say, he'd say at the start, he said, now I don't know whether He'll come or not. Right?
Yeah.
Why? Because He's God. He can make up His own mind what He wants to do or not do.
Right.
So he said, I don't know, but said, we'll believe it. Well, you know what? He never failed.
That's right.
He came on the scene and brought the Word to the prophet. All right?
Yeah.
Now, if that's the point, then if it's a manifestation of the sons of God that the whole world is waiting on, then it was not just, and I don't mean derogatory, I've been plain with you, always have been, that it's not to say that it's just waiting on the prophet to come.
That's right.
Yeah, he's part of it. Thank God. They wouldn't be anything else. They wouldn't be any manifested sons and daughters of God if the prophet had not have brought the Word. How much more honor could I give to that? And see, that means I'm not tearing it down. I'm putting Him up. He's the one. All right. But to us to just sit down and wait, I don't agree. Even though you might know exactly what you're doing. I mean, to me, I'm like this. If I knew 3 days from now God was going to come at a certain time of the day, what would I be doing? I'm supposed to be planting potatoes, right? Is that His way of making it natural? I'm supposed to be busy about, wouldn't you want to be busy? Wouldn't you want to tell everybody? Wouldn't you want to call everybody and say, the Lord's coming in 3 days. You know. Because, I mean, why would we, like Brother Brown, I remember him saying one time he was talking about, you know, you say something about God being this, that, or the other, and it scares people. And he said, why would you be scared? Why would you be scared? Why would you think that, Brother Dale, you shouldn't preach so hard. You scare my children, you know. About the day that we're living. Well, I think it's time for them to get scared.
Yeah, right.
You know, I think it's time for them to understand what's taking place right now.
Yeah, right.
I think that's what we've been missing.
Right.
And that's my whole point now. So we start from that to do. All right. Now, then, as I said about Romans, All right, we take Romans to come up with the point of looking at there is to be manifested sons and daughters of God. And the world, everything is groaning, waiting upon the sons and daughters of God to come on the scene to make him known. Right? See, we think, as I said, and I'll repeat it again where we'll understand, we think that it's signs and wonders. Well, don't worry about it. There's going to be signs and wonders. That's my whole point. That's why I'm trying to get us to look at something right now. Out there in the denominational world and things, there's signs and wonders taking place. There's healings, there's deliverances, there's all kind of things. See? Until I say it and without no backing up that sometimes look like they're doing better than we are. So it can't be based on that. But it's got to be based upon what?
Amen.
The revealing of God's word.
Amen.
Because there is the making known.
Amen.
It's not you standing up now, I want to introduce God to you. Do everybody here, do you see me standing right here, you know? No. But it's not signs and wonders and things like that either. All that's well and good. But it's when you preach the gospel. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
All right? You say, well, I'm a woman. I don't have to preach. We preach to your kids.
Amen.
You know. All right? But now follow that thought now as we go through. Because looking then, taking that the whole world is waiting on you and I.
Amen.
That's my thought for the point. Waiting on you and I. All right. Now, so if the world's waiting on you and I, we ought to be start trying to get on the line of what to find out what to do. You know, where we're living and what we're taking place. All right. See, and then what was our last thought now? Our last thought was dealing with the dispensation of adoption.
Amen.
The time of adoption. All right. Now, there was something, I'll click this. Oh, Wade, you're preaching Wednesday, okay? You ain't going to be leaving going out, are you? You are? For Wednesday? Okay, okay. You're leaving Wednesday, okay. How do you get through preaching?
No.
Aaron, are you going to be here Wednesday? He's in the moving process, so Aaron will be ministering Wednesday. Okay.
Amen.
Now, get that strap. There we go. But, all right. Waiting on you and I. Now, if you're waiting on something, it doesn't mean that it's already passed.
Right, right. That's right.
True. All right, my little note paper, you know, here. All right. If you're waiting on something, it can't be what was, you know, passed.
Right.
That's done.
Right?
Right? That's plain sensible, right? I don't need a revelation. It's finished. You're not waiting on them to have a go to the moon. No, they've been to the moon. So all of that's done. So it's not waiting on it like that. All right? But it's neither is it to say I'm waiting on the future. Because a lot of things can happen. All right? And it will take place. That what the world's waiting on will take place.
Amen.
But it's not waiting on a time or a date. It's waiting on a group of people. That's the thing that I've always tried to get you to see. It's waiting on you with what part of God that you have. We've all got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, now the prophet said it. I didn't. He said that God is not complete without you.
Amen.
Well, all right. Then see, it was waiting. There can't be, as we're going to read it in a minute, where he says waiting on the manifestation. It's right here now.
Amen.
It's not out there in the future. All right. But see, get the point of Hebrews. The Hebrews 11 is talking basically of the Old Testament people.
Right.
Now, I know what goes with this line because I know the story, but Listen to what I'm talking about. The Old Testament people are waiting on you and I.
Right, that's right.
No. They was waiting on Jesus. Well, all right. Hebrews 13:8 doesn't mean anything. Didn't bring anything personal to you. Right? Yeah, but Jesus raised. See, I know that people say, well, the Old Testament saints was waiting on Jesus. Now, in the New Testament, we're waiting on somebody else. You know, they try to make that part of the story, but why make the story like that? Why not make it like it is?
Amen.
You realize those Old Testament saints are not in the seventh dimension. They're not in the presence of God. Now, if it is, the Bible's wrong, because it said that he's the only one that's reached immortality. All right. Now, all right. They were waiting on him to raise, yes. They were waiting on him to come, yes. But that part never done anything for them. Right? Because they didn't accept it. All right, we're here in the end to where that they're waiting on you and I. Now, we're going to read what Brother Branham says so you can argue the point with him. He says the Old Testament people is waiting on you and me.
Amen.
Well, we're way back yonder. Yeah.
Amen.
They're not in their want-to-be right state.
Okay.
All right. Then when it says how long, they're longing to be changed and brought to a different position. So they're waiting on something to take place. If you understand what I'm getting at, we'll catch it when we get back in another message or two. See, here is the day that God sent his word. Right? The prophet came in this day to bring the word. All right? He had a lot to do in what he was doing. Okay? And it's identically laying out to the same order as to the Lord Jesus and what he done. The Lord Jesus had a river Jordan, right? Then he had a time through there of manifesting God. Then he had a time he had to go to Mount Transfiguration. Well, okay, that's no problem. Brother Branham had an Ohio River. And then he had a time down through there trying to teach us the word. All right. And then he went to out to Arizona, met with the angels of God, come back and preached the seven seals. That's all well and good. But you know what Brother Branham said about it? You got to have your own Mount Carmel experience. You heard him say that? You've got to have your Mount Carmel. I've told you about it when I was there in Israel, you know. And when we got to Mount Carmel, well, there's a great big image up here, like, you know, Elijah with his foot down on the heads of the prophets Baal, you know, of Baal, and a big old knife and all like that. Well, that was what everybody said. Oh, look at this. That was Elijah doing that. Well, I enjoyed that. But I was just walking around, and, you know, and I'd go around, and I'd look at it, and Peggy was following me, you know, and we was walking along. And after a while, I said, there it is. Well, see, I was looking for something. You know what I was looking for? Ever how you pronounce that? The Madonna, the Virgin Mary? I knew it had to be somewhere because Mount Carmel was Catholic. See, I was looking for the shrine to her more than I was to Elijah because I knew what Elijah done. But I knew also that would be there. So I had to search, and there it sat, you know. And I thought, how many people's looking at this thing, and some of them can even see Elijah, but not seeing who's really in charge, because Mount Carmel was Catholic. Brother Brown said, all of Christians have a Mount Carmel experience. Your born-again experience, and you're coming out of denominationalism, is a Mount Carmel experience.
Amen.
All right? See, then that all ties together. That's what I'm trying to get you to think about. See, those Old Testament saints then, they are waiting on you and I.
That's right.
Yes. Because the only one that has reached immortality is the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Branham, when he went beyond the curtain of time, he could not see the Lord Jesus. He said he's above. He's in another dimension. Now, he couldn't do it. We think we can do it. No. No. He couldn't do it. He knew then he had to come back and bring the message to try to draw it there. He could see people there, but the people there was dependent upon him. Right? That's a wonderful experience. We're not throwing Brother Branham up to a great big thing or not belittling him or not doing it. We're trying to put him in the right place to where that it means a lot, but yet to be there ourselves. Right. See, they're waiting on you and I. Amen. See, a lot of people don't believe. I was trying to get that point to you about dispensations. I know the quotes from Brother Branham. He'll say, one time I believe in dispensation. He'll say, the next time I don't believe in dispensation. No, he says both ways. Right, see, I don't want you to get lost, and we talk about dispensation, and then you come up with a quote. Well, look at this quote. Well, see, I'm already telling you the quote. I've already studied the story. All right? See, then that dispensation means a time. A place, position, or whatever. It can mean an authority. It can mean a person. You know, to deal with the word dispensation. All right. But what would be our dispensation? It's the dispensation where that we come to the position to realize who we are and what we're doing here. Why are we here? I'll even drop in a little bit to you where you can think about it later. The Lord Jesus wasn't adopted on the River Jordan. He was adopted on the Mount of Transfiguration. Drop a little thoughts to you. What do you think about that? Say, well, why is he saying that? All right, then when I make the point, see, then you'll, if you're listening, you'll catch it. All right? Listen. But he said, dispensations. One time he'll say, I don't believe in it. Next time he'll say, he believes in it. All right, I tried to express that with Elias' point there last week. Of what? Of thinking about why would he make those statements that way? And to realize then what he's saying is, you can't change. If you change, you got the wrong dispensation. You don't try to change it. You leave it like it is and where it's at. And Hebrews 13:8 will be the right point. All right. So Brother Branham wasn't looking for a time to come that would change things. What was he looking at? What was happening was wonderful. In all of those years, it had been the message he was bringing. And that was the dispensation. Because to me, the dispensation of adoption, when we read here, and the prophet said that it was waiting on you and me, to me, that dispensation started back in the days of the early ministry of the prophet. Amen. Right. And that's what he's here for. Amen. To bring us to a time, a dispensation, a positional point in where that we can believe what we're doing here. Amen. Right. And think about why we're here. And think about why has it been 50 years? Amen. Since the going of the prophet. Because we've been in a dispensation. A dispensation that he started preaching in the 30s. It wasn't meaning that it wasn't here before. That's what we're going to have to get to when we get the message part of it. Those disciples, listen, were in the dispensation of adoption of their day. But that adoption part of their day was not the headstone coming. That's right. It was not what we've looked for. But yet they were not fully manifested, adopted sons and daughters of God into bringing forth the word to change the bodies. All right. But the prophet picked that up, because you'll pick that point up as we go along. But watch now. This is the time. All right, go ahead. Let's read number three, brothers. Well, back up to number one. Let's get it. If I just have to, we'll just read and we'll get it eventually. If you don't, we'll get changed. We'll be on the other side. We can sit down and talk about it. Okay? Listen. What's everything waiting on? What's the whole creation waiting for? The manifestations of the sons of God. The making known of the sons and daughters of God. Now, if you don't see your day in this hour, how can you be in the manifestation? Right? Okay. It's waiting for the church to become into its position. Who was the sons of God when Adam, where was his domain? The earth. He had dominion on the earth. Is that right? He wasn't Elohim then. He was Jehovah. And that is, I am God, and I've made some lesser ones under me. Who's that? That's mankind, right? And I give them a dominion, and their dominion, dominion under them is the earth. What was Adam's domain? The earth. He had full control of the earth. Right? That was set for him. All the whole creation is waiting for the sons of God to be manifested. In other words, what they're waiting? They're waiting on somebody to stand forth and say, this is it. Right? So what did the prophet come for? He come forth back there in the 30s, started preaching the great teachings of a lot of things. He hits, we don't go but to 47, but then you jump up to about 1950, and he preaches the message of the inner veil. They've changed the title to another title later. But go read that message and look at him talking about a living, moving instrumentality walking on 2 feet of a people of God. He was already preaching those things. The denominations couldn't follow him because they knew nothing of adoption. And I told you, we taught adoption, but we taught it as just the basis of an adoption that didn't relate to us having anything. See? And surely we couldn't go on to the adoption of the change of the body, because we all had to get us a new one, because we were smoking, we couldn't do those things. We were waiting on another body. Well, that showed we didn't understand. But the prophet, when he did, he didn't beat the Pentecostal. He tried to correct the Pentecostal. He said, that's where you've made your mistake, thinking you got everything to start with. And he said, you just got to the beginning. No wonder he wasn't understood. Then surely as he goes along in the message and progresses more and more, they got less and less to be able to understand him. But listen, and all the whole creation is waiting for the sons of God to be manifested. No? Do you believe that? Well, I see that in Brother Brown. I'm back yonder now. I've seen it back yonder. All right. Now, what are you going to do? Now, come on. If it's back there, remember the story. If it's back there, you can't depend on that part. Why? Because it's already finished. All right. And see, it was not to be just the prophet. He was to come to make known God. But where did he make God known? Where did Brother Branham make God known? In a bride. Right. Is that a problem? Is that any trouble? He made known a bride. He was part of that bride. Right? Then you know what? He was waiting to say. All right, he's in the grave now waiting. He's not, that's just too much now. You're doing away with, I ain't doing away with nothing. I'm telling you the truth. You're the one that's got it all built up doing away with something. I ain't done away with nothing. Yeah, I'm still standing exactly where I was 68, excuse me. I believe it then. I believe it now.
Amen.
What? There was no way in the world you and I could ever come to a change of the body outside of this prophet coming.
Amen.
Right? Come on. Roll it on up a little to the next one. Is that right? Waiting. God trying to place his church in position to manifest himself, getting one that he can work through like this. There's my spirit flowing through. In other words, he's exampling what's taking place. You know, there it is that I can work here, get another one over here and place him. I can place him. Adoption, placing, manifesting, taking him out and put a ceremony on him, visit him with an angel, tell him something. Well, didn't Brother Branham come and make God known?
Yep.
And then God took the prophet to the backside of the desert out in Arizona,
right,
and made himself known to it.
Amen.
He gave him something. He told him to come back to Jeffersonville. It would mean the seals would be made known.
Right.
Well, what have I always tried to teach to you? What is the headstone? The seals.
Amen. Absolutely.
Because that's part of the word.
Amen. Right.
And the cornerstone was the word. So what about it? And if he's told the truth, now, if he's just making up something, like we were talking there kind of yesterday, and this man in a certain place years ago, he got up, you know, he's young, and the Lord is a minister. He got up and he said, I take every spirit in this building under my control. And I'm not making fun of him, I'm not making no light, I'm just telling what I thought, okay? I thought, God, don't let no demon in this building. Because he ain't got no authority over it, and I ain't either. So I know what's going to happen. The door's going to open, and he's going to leave, and I'm going to be left. So I said, Lord, don't let nothing come here.
Amen.
He ain't got what he's trying to say he's got. Because he left town owing a bunch of money. Okay, all right. Listen. Now, if he's told the truth, if he's just making up something, it won't work. We've seen that. It don't work. We've had a lot of that. But I mean manifestation of sons of God. When God manifests himself and he sends him out. Now, how does a child of God go? How did God send his son? He came down and went in him. Right? Is that true now? He came down and went in. How did he send his church? He came down and went in his church. So it's him in the adoption, not me and you. This is not, now I'm going to say this, it's going to sound contrary to what the point I'm trying to make, but it's not. He's not coming to make you and me and you manifest. God's coming to make himself manifest. But where's the gap? He's in me and you. So automatically it's going to make us manifest. That's the point that I'm trying to get a while ago. We make him known, he'll make us known. Right? All right. And then he goes forth, and what he says is truth. What he does is the truth. What he does, he manifests Christ. How do you judge him? By the way he stays with the word.
Amen.
Now, how do you judge a son or daughter of God?
Right.
How they stay with the word.
Amen.
All right, jump on over to number 2, which is questions and answers on Hebrews. Until the Gentile dispensation. Now, you people that don't believe in dispensation, what about that? See? You say, well, that's what I don't understand, Brother Dale. Because over here he says he believes in dispensation. Over here he says he don't believe in dispensation. Get what he's talking about. He don't believe in changing. There's been no change. Listen. Luther brought justification. Wesley brought sanctification.
Right.
The Pentecostal brought the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The prophet stepped out on that.
Amen.
Right?
Right?
And he believed what they believed and stepped out with them. Because they were teaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? It hasn't changed.
Amen.
It is not a dispensation Let's see, I'll read it in a minute, where Brother Brown said there's a dispensation of the Holy Ghost. He says there's a dispensation of John the Baptist. But now put it all together, and all that you've got, what have you got? You got Christ made manifest. This is making known our Father. It's not the Son being made known. That's where we're going wrong in our thoughts, listening to the point, trying to make a Son. No, it's us making our Father known. See, that we make Him known, He'll make us known. Right? Come on, kids, you go to school and everything, and you're ashamed of your mom and daddy, and you walk around, you know, and you're ashamed of them. Well, you know, what if I do if I seen one of my kids doing that? When he come around for the paying ticket, he'd be in trouble. When he come around to say, Daddy, I need some money, I'd say, I'm not your daddy. A while ago, you had a daddy somewhere else, and I'm hunting that for, you know. You're crazy. I agree with you. But it works. All right? So if you don't believe in dispensations, you're out. But don't believe in a changing dispensation. That, to me, is what the prophet's doing. Don't believe in things changing to another thing. See, it's not. It's the same Holy Ghost. Can I quote the prophet? The same Holy Ghost that justified the Lutheran, sanctified the Methodist, is now setting in order the coming of the Lord that God can pour into us His fullness and the baptism and take us into rapture. It ain't changed. This is the same Holy Ghost that come on the day of Pentecost. See? And come right on down into the day of Azusa Street Pentecost. It's the same Holy Ghost. It's not something different. It's not a different dispensation. It's all in the same dispensation. This is the dispensation of making Him known. When that prophet stepped out there, that's what God was waiting on, right? He was waiting on one man that could believe His word. And He was pleased to dwell in him. Now, that's all I've ever asked of me and you and all of us, is God pleased to dwell in me and you? If we have the new birth, He is. If we have the new birth, He's pleased to dwell in us. Oh, you make it a little bit. No, I don't make it strong enough. All right. Listen, let's go ahead then. I'm trying to find the one. Yeah, this is the one I want. Go ahead to number three. Blown up to number three, and we'll get on to the adoption. The mystery. How mysterious. This is where we ended up the other day. And the scripture packed me back into the Old Testament, then over into the New Testament, and tied something together here. What? Mystery of His coming, mystery of His will, mystery of His setting together. Remember, it cannot be taught in a seminary. It's a mystery. You cannot know it by education, by theology. It's a mystery that's been hidden since the foundation of the world, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, read that with common sense. What has been waiting from the foundation of the world? Do you read correctly? I thought we were supposed to read all of us the same way and come out to the same point. So listen to what it says. It's a mystery that's been hidden since the foundation of the world. Now, there's a mystery that's been hidden from the foundation of the world. I'm going to read what he says on down here in a minute. So come on, listen. Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What's been the mystery that the whole world's been waiting on? Right. What's the mystery? The manifestation of the sons and daughters of the living God. God living in His people, doing and declaring these things. The adoption of His children. That's the mystery. Come on. Are you listening to what I said a while ago? But Run said, the Godhead is not complete without you. You realize then, according to Christ, the mystery. According to Christ, the mystery. The bride is part of the mystery and is to be revealed. Now, that's what your prophet said. Read Christ the mystery. Go back to it and listen to it. The mystery is the bride is part of the mystery. what I said. You make him known. He will then make you known. And he'll say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. I'm pleased to take what he says. I'm pleased to do what he's calling for. But if you can't see it in the bride, now listen, if you can't see it in the bride, at least you need to look back and see it in the prophet. All right? If it was in the prophet, that means there's got to be somewhere, somebody to finish this. That's no problem. Why don't I have no problem looking back or whatever? I have no problem with all of these returns and ministries and that. I believe in it.
That's right.
I just believe a little bit different from what a lot of people think about it.
Right.
But I believe it.
Yes.
But see, that prophet came to preach the message. And you know what? You and I are the message that he came to preach.
Amen.
That we're the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
We're God made manifest. That's what he says.
Amen.
All right? Now look, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now watch what he said. Tell me my brother. Tell me my sister. When was the time that the sons of God was ever to be manifested outside of this time now? When you come in through and got into Luther and Wesley and them, it had fallen away so far until you didn't have the faith of the fathers being dealt with. Right? And you couldn't call that adoption time. Yet they were children. We'll get to that as we go along. If you'll listen, you'll understand.
Amen.
Luther and them had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But they were children that were born into the family, but they had no tutor, they had no point. He didn't send that because that's not the time of it. Because there's a long gap. Now I'm saying some things that eventually when I say it, it ought to click. The Lord Jesus Christ stood on the River Jordan and brought his message. 3 years he walked in that message. Right? Telling all the things, showing all of the things. Yet he wasn't adopted till the Mount of Transfiguration.
Right.
Because the hear ye him never come on the River Jordan. It came on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Right? Right.
Right? And you know he didn't have but a 6 months message?
Right.
Come on. You pick up Brother Brandon's ministry in about 62, spoken word original seed, right in there, or where he's talking about, what is it? Is this the time, sir? Right in there? 62. And you go through his ministry and you got 3.5 years. Everything lays perfectly in type if you listen and think about it. So Brother Brandon didn't have a long ministry. He had a short ministry.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus had a short ministry.
Right.
But we got so far away, we've had 50 years
Amen.
That God is waiting on me and you.
Right.
50 years
right.
since the going of the prophet.
Amen.
Waiting on me and you.
Yes. Right.
Well, I didn't know it was waiting on me. Well, who's it waiting on? A bus? Okay. Outside of this time, when were there ever a time in the history that manifests the time to deliver all nature? Now he's getting into adoption about total deliverance. He's coming into the change of the body, right? So that's not coming till this end time. The nature itself groaning, waiting for the time of the manifestation. Why? Before the atonement was made, before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out, before that all, now that's Old Testament, right? And on down there, there couldn't have been manifestation. It had to wait till this time. I told you what I said a while ago. Was you listening? I believe this dispensation of adoption started with the prophet's ministry back there in like 33 or something when he began to bring forth. That's just personal opinion. Well, see, he had to go to Arizona and connect with the angels of the Lord before he could come back and tell you what the seals were. Right? So he must have had his adoption. You say, well, Brother Dale, when do you think Brother Branham was adopted? I believe he's adopted down there in the Ohio River. I don't. You don't have a Bible. The church people not thinking about what the Bible means. You take Brother Branham's ministry and compare it exactly with the Lord Jesus. It comes out right to exactly. River Jordan, Mount of Transfiguration, Ohio River, Tucson, Arizona, opening of the seals, bringing forth the things. The plan of redemption perfectly identically lays that away. But now, where's our part? There's got to be a people to make the word manifest. That's all I'm preaching. There's got to be somebody to make manifest what the prophet taught. Am I trying to teach something else? No, I'm not trying to teach something else he didn't teach. I'm trying to teach what he taught. Because only through that can it be brought. All things is brought come shaping up to a headstone, to the manifestation of the sons of God coming back. And the Spirit of God coming into these men, right, so perfectly until their ministry will be so close like Christ till it'll join him and his church together. Why can't we believe then the prophet brought the message? But there's a fivefold ministry to take it on. Right? How are you going to get it? All right. Listen. Go ahead to number 5. What was the Holy Ghost given for? But now when we need it, the Spirit of God raises a standard. Now what is the standard? Is that what he's saying? The Spirit of God raises up a standard. What is it? What's the standard? Now, Azusa Street, you know, had it fine. But the book of Acts is your standard.
Amen. That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Come on, all the way back there. That was the standard. Right. Now, watch what he's just saying, though. Spirit of God raises up a standard. What is it? He's pouring in his Spirit. And those who are resting out yonder in the grave are under the altar of God, as the scripture says, are crying, how long, Lord, how long, how much longer? God's waiting on me and you. Am I reading something strange? The church is waiting on me and you. Adoption time, when God can pour into us his fullness, his power, his resurrection, that when the church and Christ become so close together till Christ becomes visible among us and raises the dead and we go into rapture. Now watch. After a while, that just those who are, he wanted to talk about it later, filled with the Holy Ghost goes in that rapture. For the rest of the dead live not for the space of 1,000 years. That's right. Just Holy Ghost filled people is what went into rapture. So we know what's going in the rapture, Holy Ghost filled people. But the whole world is waiting on you and I. You say, well Brother Dale, I want to find my place. All right? My place is in the Word. I know mine. I'm a minister. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to preach the gospel. I know that how that's to be. What do you know yours? It can be just a bench warmer. You remember the story that the lady that was cleaning the pew in the church, the seats. And she was praying, Lord, bless this person here. Lord, bless this person. And just going down the line, just cleaning the pews and praying for the people that sat there. You know what it started? A revival. Right? Okay. It can work. All right, what about it? Authority. Go to the next one. We'll pick up to hear ye him. Knows that we're at the end of something. Everybody knows that. Civilization can't stand any longer. She's just weaving and shaking. What's it waiting for? It's way past due as it was in the days of Noah. Long suffering. It's lapped over for the elect's sake. It's lapped over for the elect's sake. Way past, but God's waiting to get his church in order. He's waiting on you and I. May he grant the blessing. Now, God, now listen to the point of what I'm trying to make. We've read, I know, two. God's waiting on you and I. But we don't have nothing to do. We just sitting around waiting on the bus pull up. And God's waiting on you and I when he can pour in his fullness and the baptism and take us in the rapture. You say, well, what's wrong? Why are we here 50 years? Because we haven't realized yet that he's waiting on us. And what does it matter to me if it's 50 more? I'm going to be old. But if he's ordained it to be, I'll be right here. Right? If he's ordained it to be, I'll be right here. What about you? Well, I don't know, because 50 years is a lot of time. Well, you don't believe in God correctly then. Because why can't he bring us another 100 years? What about God waiting on you and me? I thought we was waiting on him. Waiting on him to do what? He wants us to call him on the scene. Right? Try it sometime. You know what? It might work. You know? I don't mean that derogatory, making a joke. I mean it's the truth. Sometimes the reason we don't get what we ask, I mean what we're wanting, is because we don't ask for it. I was just looking at one. There's one right here somewhere close where Brother Branham, it may be the next one, where Brother Branham's talking about it. And he says, not, now you remember Mark 11, not if he says it, if you say it. Not if God says it, if you say it. And doubt not in your heart, it'll take place. Well, if it don't take place, you know what? I got no sense to know one thing. What? I ain't got it right in my heart. Because he said it. Well, let's quit blaming him and waiting on him and start moving out into the message. 50 years, it ought to be, we could move a little bit. We ought to at least be to the basis that we're not flim-flamming along in the message and don't know what this is. Well, brother so-and-so said it that way. Brother so-and-so said this and said it that way. We just don't know what to believe. Why? Did the Bible change? Did the prophet's message change? No. Well, I just can't see nothing going on. Well, does that mean it ain't going on? At least you ought to have enough sense to say, that's what I think. You know, instead of trying to make it that it ain't working. We have seen God move among us. You're looking for great manifestations. Why not look at the simplicity and see that God has moved among us? Yeah, but there you got the whole thing. He's out there. Yeah, because he's poured out his spirit. Now, if you're going to holler, he's out there, I'll holler with you. Let's go out there. If you think God is more there than he is here, let's go there. Right? Oh, you don't talk my language. I agree with you. I talk different because I know what I'm talking about. God is waiting on me and you. He's done everything he could do. He's given us the message. He's given us tapes, books, etc., until everything is at our fingertips. We just push a button. I have spent 3 months trying to find one quote to preach one sermon from. Back in the old days. Right? Now you just, bloop, and there it is. And even if you do wind up with 50, you can still sit down and go, bloop, 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 until you find it. Because you know it's one of the 50. Right? And God's given us many shortcuts. You know what I'm talking about. We had to come through the DOS to learn a lot of things. But, you know, that's all right. I learned how to shortcut the message. So I could get what I wanted. But when they come up with the windows, that was exactly what I was doing. I just didn't have the ability to shortcut it enough. I could cut it from 50 quotes to 30. But when they come up with the windows, they can cut it from 50 to 0 or 1. Right? You say, well, what are you getting at? I'm saying, church, God has done everything he could do. He has put everything at our fingertips. Put it to where we have it. We can read it. We can pull it up at an instant. Then what's he waiting on? But God's waiting to get his church in order. He's waiting on you and I. May he grant that blessing. What's he waiting for? God is waiting. Now here's the emphasis to drop back. The Old Testament saints have not reached immortality. You said, I don't agree with that. Okay, go ahead. That's all right. You show me how they can. That's all I ask for. When the Lord Jesus was the only one that reached immortality. And Brother Branham verified it or cleared it up for us when he went beyond the curtain of time and he couldn't go where Jesus was. He said, well, where's all the rest of them at? Don't ask me, but I know there has to be cubicles or something up in heaven, places for these people to go, because you got foolish virgins, you got filth-sealed Jews, you got a lot of things that God has to have a place for them to be, because they're not there. We were talking about it yesterday. When Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time, he didn't see Paul's people. He saw his people. Right? Why? Because the others was in another dimension, and you can't put them in another dimension because you can only put them into sixth dimension. So that sixth dimension must be a monstrosity of people. Right? Because every church age is there. But yet they're in different places. And Brother Branham went back there and saw his people. He didn't see Paul's people. He didn't see them. He saw his own people. And they told him. He said, do I have to go back? And he said, yeah, I'll go back. And they said, well, we're dependent on that, in other words. What about this age depending on the prophet? But you see, I can make it stronger than that. From the foundation of the world to where we are today, God was waiting to bring a message in this last days through a little man named William Branham to bring it to the bases of Malachi 4 and fulfill it. He doesn't understand a lot of times. If you don't believe me, go read Spoken Word's original seed. He gets over there and he said, Lord, I got them out on a limb. What can I do? The Lord says, pick up your pen and write. He picks up his pen and writes, and there is exactly his answer. Because in that, he says, as of yet, God telling him, he had to tell that prophet. He said, as of yet, Malachi 4 is not fulfilled. There's a brother, I won't call it where to put it on the internet, but there's a brother that said it one time. He said to Brother Branham, said, Brother Branham, are you Malachi 4? You know, is that your ministry? He said, yes. He said, well, why don't you tell everybody? He said, I can't do it. He couldn't go forth and tell it. He had to keep moving slowly. See, and he didn't know his part. But when he told him a spoken word of original seed, oh, what a part he had to tell. He said, to think about that new birth. If you're born of the Word and Spirit, he said, it puts you back like you should have been without the fall.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing this message has declared unto us. To look at it and see that you and I are not just sitting here waiting. We are supposed to have been studying the message to prepare. Now, I don't make statements to make it derogatory and make it hateful or anything, but I do make straight statements. If you're looking for Brother Branham to come back and preach, now I'm saying this, if you don't know what he's already said, what's any need of him coming back? Right?
Amen.
Is that trying to make a doctrine or an idea? No, it's telling the truth.
Right.
We've got to be prepared.
That's right.
For whatever God does.
Amen.
And see, that's what I've been doing for 40 years, is trying to prepare this church for a short ministry. Because I've always known what the prophet said. He said, Jesus come to Mount Transfiguration. I mean, I noted from when I first read it. He said he went straight to Calvary. There's about 6 months difference between Mount of Transfiguration and Calvary. And the Lord Jesus was heading towards his death. And I've always said it. Because I've always believed it. This message, if it don't take me and you to our death to ourself, then we're not in the message.
Right.
We're not in the message if it's not killed us.
Right.
I ain't meaning physically now, right? Spiritually.
Yes.
If it hadn't brought us to a place that we're dead to ourselves and walking in Christ, then the message hadn't done us any good. So you say, Brother Dale, what are you expecting the message to do? Kill every one of us.
Yes. Amen.
Right. How many of you remember Brother Fred Hooper? You remember the Jim Jones situation that happened down there, you know, and the things? And at that time they asked Fred there at work. They said, Fred said, has Sam ever tried to get you to kill yourself? He said, every day. Said, every day that I'm around, he's trying to get me to kill myself. Where Christ can live. See, that's what God's waiting on a church like that. Not the fact of you saying it. I mean, him saying it. You must say it. Let me find one and then we'll quit, okay? Well, this is off of the message of adoption in number 17, but with earnest expectation, the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation. The manifestation. What is the manifestation? Making known the whole world, the Mohammedans over yonder. They're looking for it. The Mohammedans are looking for the sons and daughters of God. Yeah, because the whole world is waiting. Right? They're looking for it. Where is there those people? Or where is these people, excuse me? Where's the people he's looking for? But we fail to hear. Looking at all of those things, fail to hear the still small voice.
Amen.
All right. I'm looking for one specific. It's groaning, waiting. The whole world is waiting. He's just waiting now with his long suffering that his coming already past due waiting to get the church in order so the second coming can take place. Waiting on the church to get the second coming to come to pass. I'm trying to find one certain quote, and I'll quit. If God be in you, all that God was, he poured into Christ, and all Christ was, he poured into the church. So it's God above us, God with us, God in us. We followed that a lot, hadn't we? But listen. And bring his people, God condescending, down, making a way for me to get back, and bring his people back to manifested sons of God, like they had them in the manifestation of the sons of, in the Garden of Eden. The whole world's groaning, waiting for that hour for the manifestation of sons of God. He has no voice, but our voice. He has no hands, but our hands. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. I was looking for the one where he's talking about the Old Testament saints, but that's all right. I'll find it. Can't even find something in my own notes. Go ahead, musicians, come ahead. And I'll see if I can find that while you're coming, because I wanted to read that one. This is one I like. Melchizedek, the great prince, number 11. When we rally there with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those who were heirs of the promise, looking forward to us not to fail. You mean Abraham, Isaac, now? For without us, they cannot be made perfect. Looking for us not to fail. You mean that all that happened down through there is going to wind up with us sitting in church? Glory, we're in the message. We believe it. Everything, we're ready for the Lord. We just don't know what's holding it off. I know what's holding it off, me. I know what's holding it off, you. No problem. Because when the bride gets ready, God is ready. Why? Because he's waiting on, God is waiting on you and I. If you don't get nothing out of the message today, get that. God is waiting on you and I. Amen. To speak the word and go forth. Did the prophet preach a message called Why Christ Speak? Maybe you ought to try speaking sometime. Come on, may I quote the prophet? I'd rather have some wildfire than no fire. Well, I tried it one time, it didn't work. Well, go try it again. I prayed about being sick, didn't get well. But that didn't stop me from praying the next time I got sick. Church, I'm just trying to get you and I for one thing. God's waiting on me and you. The whole world's waiting on you and me. And what are we doing? Dilly-dallying around, not studying, not praying, not seeking God. But yet we're ready. Yeah. That's what used to tickle me. You know, people, you hadn't seen them in a long time, and you know what I'm talking about. You hadn't seen people in a long time, and they come up, and you say, well, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing wonderful. This one brother, one time, he said, he'd left the church here. And he said, I said, how you doing, brother? He said, doing the best I've ever done. I said, well, good then. You know, where are you going to church now? Oh, I'm not going. I don't go nowhere. I said, oh, you all right? And, you know, and I said, now, I want to restate my question. I said, how you doing, brother? He didn't answer the first question like, He didn't say, I'm doing great. He said, Brother Dale, I'm in bad shape. Now he got serious. Now he got honest. But his first statement, oh, I'm doing better. I'm doing better. But I don't go to church. The Lord's with me. You ever heard people say that? You would have been out here the other day when that woman was telling me and Terrence how bad we was. They had that little tent sitting right out there trying their best to get in some of your houses or backyard. Now, you say, well, Brother Dale, you ought to help that lady. I did. We took her down to Commerce, and we gave her 2 nights in the motel and gave her $200 to go on her way. You say, well, you ought to brought her. All right, next time I'll bring her to your house.
That's right.
That'll shut it up.
Right.
You won't condemn me for what I do, because the next time I'll bring her to your house.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. I didn't want. I told that lady, I said, lady, we can't leave you sitting out here. But I said, I can't do what you want. I said, you're condemning me upside down with all of these things. You're saying that I'm not a Christian, and a Christian would help other Christians and do good. I said, you wanting to condemn me? You're doing a good job. But I said, I still can't do what you want. I said, I can't call some of my people up and say, I'm sending this lady down there and let her put her tent up in the backyard. Because like my wife said, you know for certain what it would be. Come on, you would have somebody out in the backyard with a tent and it's raining like crazy. You ain't going to leave them out there. You're going to go get them in the house. And by the time you get them in the house, you ain't going to get them out. You done fell for it. That's what one brother, I called him. I said, what about? He said, yeah, I know the lady. He said, but don't send her my way. And said, for heaven's sake, don't let her in your house. I said, lady, I can't open this church door and let you stay here. I said, the insurance won't cover. I said, I'm doing the best I can do, lady. I'm doing everything I've offered. I told her, I said, you go, you tell me where you want to go. I'll take you to the bus depot and pay for your ticket to California, to anywhere in the United States. I said, I'm not stupid. I ain't sending you over the world. But I said, I'll send you anywhere you want to go. Well, I don't know where to go. I said, well, you better find something because we got to do something. So we had to do it. Thank God for Terrence taking the parts of it and starting it off. And then June helped me end the life part of it. And I'm not joking. Terrence started here at 9 o'clock in the morning with her. And June and myself had her down at the motel at Commerce at 7 o'clock. So we spent all day with that lady trying our best to get her to go somewhere and let us put her up. But there was no way. What would you think if I called and said, hey, this lady wants to set her tent up in your backyard? He said, well, of course, if you put me up in your backyard and things, and you and I found a job, said, you'd have to take me to work. I said, lady, you're doing a good job condemning me. But I still ain't going to do what you're asking. You say, well, Brother Dale, you're wrong. Well, all right, next time I'll send them to your house. We'll solve that problem. I had two brothers one time, you heard me tell it, as people come in and he preached, he'd done a good job, the preacher did. But the two brothers didn't know what I knew because that brother had just left this man's house to come here to preach for us. And he said, last thing he said, Samuel, I want to tell you something. He said, that man's been in my house for 3 months. I know so. So he's been in my house 3 months. I said, thank you, I'll take care of it. So when it got through, and it was a little misty snow, you know, I walked outside, I gave him some money. I said, here's money for your preaching, which was a good amount, you know. And I said, and here's money for your 2 or 3 nights in a motel. You go right here, you turn left, you go up to Gainesville. And them two brothers right in front of the guy, you ain't going to let him go out here in the snow, are you? I said, brothers, just leave it alone, brothers. I've got a problem, just leave it alone. You ain't going to, I said, look, brothers, I'm telling you, hush. I've got a problem. Well, when the guy drove out of the parking lot, I said, now, you two come here. I want to talk to you. I said, that man had been in that man's house for 3 months. And I believed every word that man said about it. I said, you want them in your house 3 months? I'll give them to you. I said, next time I'll send them home with you. Boy, I ain't never had no problem since then. Nobody has made... question my judgment. I don't mean that wrong. I just mean the truth. We're Christians living here, but we don't have to take care of that like that. Not when we would put somebody up in a motel to give them. There was no way in the world I was going to leave that lady right out there. I mean, no way I was going to do it. But what was it going to do? You know. So it took about 8 hours to figure out what was to do. But you see, church, we think we're Christians. Well, you didn't act like a Christian because you'd have took the lady. Would you have done it? Oh, you can say now, yes, I would. But the next time I call you, are you going to be at home? Okay. Not making no light, just telling the truth. Let's stand. What we got, brother? Just remember what I'm trying to get you to see. Way to be ministering this afternoon, so just remember, brother, Aaron be ministering Wednesday, and then I'll have all day next Sunday to take care of it. I'll try to get you and I to see. God is waiting on you and I. Now, what marvelous thing could be greater than that? Where could we be anything more marvelous? You mean you would be more marvelous for the president to invite you to the White House? The greatest thing in the world could happen if God is waiting on you and me to call him on the scene. What has to be greater? Where can it be a greater day? This is the day of all days. I'm not down and out. I'm happy. Because I know and see the day that we're living. God's waiting on you. He's waiting on us to believe it. He said, not if I say, but if you say. We condemn it under the blood of Jesus Christ and believe it, that by your stripes he's healed. And we thank you that you've taken care of me in Jesus' name. Okay. Anybody else? Come and let's see. See where you're at the day you're living. And we know all of those things relate to life and things, but it don't have to be. We believe you, Father, that by your stripes he's healed. And we condemn this demon of headaches. It's not something she's done. It's been part of life. Lord, we just cast that demon out. Satan, you take your flight because you can't stay. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Anybody else? What about it? What could be more marvelous? Do you realize what I'm trying to say? What could be more marvelous than tomorrow you go to the post office or the mailbox and you get a letter and the President of the United States said, I want you to come to the White House. Well, you know what? We'd go, right? That wouldn't be, we'd try to go, you know. And we'd probably call everybody and say, President's calling for me. Said, turn on that TV tomorrow and you'll see me on there. I'm going. But what about the God of glory? The God of glory He says, I'm waiting on you. But what's he wanting me to do? Believe him and just step out on what he says. He's wanting us to say what he says. It doesn't say for you, know, to remember what he said. It says say what he said. Just say what he said. You need healing, just say, by his stripes I'm healed. You know the prophet, I can go on afternoon. Well, what did he say? If we don't believe God and release that part that's within us of the Holy Spirit to believe, then what are we trying to expect him to do? That's a little paraphrasing, but is it right? What are we expecting God to do when we bind him with our... We bind him by not saying, thank you, Lord, and let him move. What about it? He's waiting on me and you. Adoption time. Now's the time for it. So what should we expect? We expect God to move on the scene. He's waiting on me and you to call him. Father, you know the thoughts of our mind and what we're trying to get across to your people. That you're waiting on us. And Lord, we've all got that excuse that we're waiting on you. And Lord, then our actions and reactions shows we're not even waiting on you. We're just making an excuse. Well, Father, help us not to have something to try to make an excuse, but to stand on what you said and call for you and let you manifest yourself among us. And let your love and kindness be with each and every one of us. The sickness among us, Lord, is there for a reason. And your prophet said, there's nothing can happen to us without it being okayed by you. So you have allowed the things to happen to where that we would get serious enough, Lord, to start calling on you. Now just come on the scene and manifest yourself. Let your loving grace be with all of us. Be with Wade this afternoon as he ministers your word. And bless us all in your love in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.